Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Happy All Saints Day.
Oh, it's a wonderful holy day today. It's a day that we honor every saint, every person who is now enjoying the beatific vision, whether they've been declared saints or not.
And do you have a favorite or
absolutely one of your favorite? Absolutely. Yes. Thérèse of Lisieux.
And I've prayed a lot to St. Gerard Majella, expectant mothers.
He's a wonderful one,
and
too.
His feast day was actually the due date for my first child, the same day. So it was kind of coincidence.
I wonder if there was something going on.
I know,
there.
It was neat. Well, so what's coming up today?
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour on this All Saints Day, it's a perfect time to discuss saints to turn to for examples of strength in times of trouble. We'll hear some suggestions for saints to inspire us during life's ups and downs from Lisa Handy, author of A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms, 52 Companions for Your Heart, Mind, Body, and Soul.
And we'll hear from local Catholics about their favorite saints. Plus, we'll hear from a Catholic who used to live here about why he should be a saint. You won't want to miss this, the Catholic Spirits interview with Lino Rulli.
Then find out about expanding local opportunities for men to enjoy Catholic fellowship, grow in the faith, and deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers.
And first, today we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Fine. Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Paul.
You're in between issues. This means you can slack off a bit, huh?
That's right. Kick back a little.
I like to see you with your feet up on your desk. You've had a lot going on, though.
Yeah, you know, this past weekend, I had the opportunity to interview Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York.
Wow.
He came here to speak to the 20th anniversary celebration of the Catholic Studies program at the University of St. Thomas. And, you know, he's just such a warm, larger-than-life individual. He's just so joyful and passionate about the faith. And one of the things we spoke about was the important role that Catholic Studies programs, like the one at St. Thomas, play in the new evangelization and in our culture, you know, where the Church faces a number of challenges. And so Cardinal Dolan started answering the question I was asking him about that by referencing a talk he heard earlier that week by a rabbi who was speaking about the need for what he called a creative minority to help the Church proclaim the gospel message in these times. And here's a little of what the Cardinal had to say.
And so he said, we're a creative minority who win people over by our conviction of truth, and by our sense of joy, and by our love and faith. Now, I think that's a pretty good mission statement for Catholic studies programs. That's what they do on campus. That's what they do in the intellectual climate of the United States. They are an extraordinarily prophetic voice, saying that in some settings and in some cultures where the truth of Catholic life, the beauty and truth of what we're all about may lose some of its luster. We want to work hard to regain it. And is that not what the new evangelization is all about? To try to recover just that whole the whole pizzazz of the faith. And Catholic studies does it amazingly. What it does, part of what the new evangelization is all about, is helping people of deep faith realize they're not by themselves, that we are not alone. And the Catholic studies programs do that. When you go to campuses where they flourish, and of course we're at the granddaddy of them all here at the University of St. Thomas, what you've got are amazingly committed young people who are tempted to believe that they might be the only ones who read the Bible, love their Catholic faith, want to learn more about it, pray, go to Sunday Mass. They may believe that they're the only ones that are around. They get to a Catholic studies program, they learn that not only are they by themselves right now, here and now, that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people who share their enthusiasm for the faith, but they learn they're part of a family that goes back 2,000 years. and they begin to delve into that intellectual tradition. They begin to recover, in a way, what we long call the Catholic culture. And a Catholic culture is a good thing. In other words, it's to surround yourself with the learning, with the habits, and with the people who will bolster you in your faith. And Catholic studies programs do that magnificently.
I love hearing that the Catholic studies program at the University of St. Thomas is the granddaddy of them.
That was quite the compliment.
And I love it when he says, giving the faith the pizzazz.
Yep.
He seemed fun to talk to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I didn't have a lot of time with him, but I wish I would have. So.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Pope Francis, talking about larger-than-life individuals, you know, talked about the communion of saints earlier this week during his general audience. And I thought it was wonderful the way he talked about this communion as a great big family, as he called it. And, you know, it's one that's made up of all the baptized here on earth, all the souls in purgatory, and all the souls in heaven, and that we can ask for help from these other members of our family by offering prayers, intercessory prayers to them to help get us through some of the tough times we experience in our lives. And I thought it was just a beautiful way to view the connection of all that is seen and unseen, as we say, you know, those who've gone before us with us living today. And he also, last weekend, addressed 100,000 faithful for a Year of Faith celebration of family life at St. Peter's Square.
Was that when the little boy came up?
I believe so.
Oh, it was so cute, the pictures.
What a wonderful image, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I just love that. And he would not leave.
That's right. And, you know, the Pope was just fine with that.
He just hung with, right, just rolled with it. It was awesome.
Very, very beautiful. And, you know, he spoke to the people there about marriage as a sacrament and a lifelong journey of love, and he talked about the importance of families praying together. But my favorite thing he offered the crowd were three phrases that he said were keys to a peaceful family life, and those phrases were, may I, thank you, and I'm sorry.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah. And then a day earlier, when he was speaking to members of the Pontifical Council for the Family, he said these wonderful words. I'm just going to read this quote because it just really struck me. He said, when I hear the confession of a young married man or woman and they refer to their son or daughter, I ask, how many children do you have? And they tell me. Maybe they're expecting another question after that, but I always ask, and tell me, do you play with your children? Do you waste time with your children?
Waste time, that's
you know, isn't that great? A great reminder for what's really important.
It is, it is. We're all so distracted, and sometimes we just need to be.
It's a good, great reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of children, there's an interesting event coming up in Eagan.
Yes, there's November is National Adoption Month, and on November 18th, St. John Newman in Eagan is hosting a Faces of Adoption seminar that will give people an overview of the adoption process.
Okay.
And then the annual Archdiocesan Mass in celebration of adoption will be held in three locations this year on November 23rd. So at Divine Mercy Catholic Church in Faribault, St. John Newman in Eagan, and St. Peter Claver in St. Paul. So everyone is welcome to attend those, and information about adoption will be available as well at receptions following those Masses. And folks can read more about the Masses and that Faces of Adoption seminar in next week's edition of the Catholic Spirit.
Okay. Big event coming up in December.
Yes. A reminder again, we have Bishop-elect Cousins' Episcopal ordination on December 9th, and that's the day we'll be celebrating the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary this year. And that ordination's at 2 o'clock at the Cathedral. And the public is invited to attend, and the ceremony, as well as the reception afterward at the Crown Plaza Hotel in downtown St. Paul. And Archbishop Neinstedt will be the principal celebrant of the Mass, and the assisting bishops will be Archbishop Emeritus Flynn and Bishop Serba of Duluth, who, of course, is a priest of our archdiocese.
That'll
wonderful.
Be wonderful.
Yeah,
it's always great to see that all those hands laying on the new bishop.
Yes. It's a beautiful sight.
That Mass, by the way, it will be broadcast live on Relevant Radio 1330 on December 9th at 2 p.m.
And as we've said before, but Father John Paul Erickson, who's the Archdiocesan Director of Worship, reminded me, anyone thinking of attending, try to get there
early.
I
was going to say, I bet it's going to be packed.
It's going to be limited. So.
Okay.
And one more thing related to Bishop-elect Cousins. If you haven't read the interview with his parents that we had in the October 24th issue of the Catholic Spirit, don't miss it. It's the story of how when his mother was pregnant with Bishop Cousins, there was some difficulties with the pregnancy.
That's right.
The doctor was pressuring her to have an abortion, and her pro-life witness just is really something to admire. And that story has just been so popular on our website this last week. It's gotten close to a couple thousand hits already, so it's a great story.
Well, and on the lighter side, too, we have an interview that you did with Lino Rulli coming up, and I understand that somewhere out on the web there's some video of Bishop-elect Cousins and Lino Rulli doing some mountain climbing?
That's right. You know, Lino used to do a show when he was in the Twin Cities here. And one of the segments, Father Cousins at that time took him on a little rock climbing expedition, and it was using it to make some points about the faith. And you know, that was new territory for Lino, I think. So it was a breeze for Father Cousins, but Lino had learned a few things along the way.
Struggling a little bit.
Lino.
If you get a chance to check that, I think that's still on our website.
That's on the Catholic Spirit's
that's
website.
Right. Yeah, okay. It's a couple minutes, but it's a very entertaining couple minutes.
Well, finally, a penitential prayer service. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's going to be held at the Cathedral this Sunday, November 3rd, from 6:30 to 7:30 in the evening, to pray for our local church during these difficult days with all the recent media coverage. And the service, it's not a mass, it's a prayer service, will include the recitation of the 7 penitential psalms and prayers for peace and for forgiveness and some time for silence. So our church is in need of prayers, and this is a good way to finish up the weekend on a note of prayer and hope.
Always a good thing. The October 24th issue of The Catholic Spirit is out, and you should be reading it. Matter of fact, you should have read it by now. So we'll look forward to the next issue, Joe, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, I guess.
That's right. Yep.
All right. Have
All
a good
right.
weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye, Joe.
Thank you.
You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour on this All Saints Day, we'll find out about saints to inspire us during life's ups and downs, plus hear about your favorite saints, and Lino Rulli makes the case for his own sainthood, and this should be good.
Oh, yes. Well, also, in answering the call, we'll find out about new opportunities for Catholic men to grow in the faith through in-person events and online. We'll be right back.
The Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio is presented each week by Stinson Electric.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. We're proud to sponsor the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a trusted supplier of electrical services in the Twin Cities area.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers.
My customers really appreciate the electricians that I send out there. Their professionalism, their personality, their responsibility, the fact that they can call and get someone out there that knows how to solve the problem, does it in a timely manner, and is neat, tidy, polite as they do it. I get a lot of feedback about the employees.
It's rare to find a company so dedicated to doing business the right way so that everyone benefits.
We'd like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. I can be reached at 612-424-7382 or on the web at StinsonElectricInc.com.
My hope on your return, now all that sorrow so soon will burn. So tend my heart with tender hands and see your sunshine is pouring in, and all the world is at my feet.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Today, as you know, is All Saints Day, a holy day of obligation and an opportunity for us to reflect on the examples of holiness that saints have provided us through the centuries.
We all have struggles in life in which we want to do the right thing, but we need guidance. Lisa Hendy, author of A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms, 52 Companions for Your Heart, Mind, Body, and Soul, and founder of CatholicMom.com, joins us to give us some ideas for saints to turn to in times of trouble in our lives. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Corey. Hi, Paul.
Tell us a little bit about the inspiration for this book, Book of Saints for Catholic Moms. You're the queen of CatholicMom.com.
No, every mom is the queen of her home, so okay. I hasten to say that. This book came as a follow-up to my first book, which was another book for Catholic mothers, and my publisher came back and invited me to write this book pretty quickly after the first one as a devotional for moms. So this is really a week-by-week devotional walk with the saints and an opportunity to kind of learn about more about them, but also to build these intercessory relationships that are so important to our spiritual lives.
So week-by-week, so there's 52 saints in the book. And well, for you, who are your top three saints that you look to in times of trouble as a mom?
Okay, so obviously number one is always going to be the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Oh, yes.
Every mom will say that.
It's a given.
My three personal intercessors, St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, has been a dear part of my life for years. Blessed John Paul II, I was actually fortunate to be at his beatification. I can't wait to call him St. John Paul the Great.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third one would be Venerable Fulton Sheen. And the work that I do in new media, I really think Fulton Sheen would have been all over Facebook and Twitter, and he's a tremendous role model for using the media in the new evangelization.
He was a genius at it, no question.
He was. He left a great legacy for us to follow, and I will happily, hopefully, be at his canonization someday soon.
All right. Well, some of the most common reasons people turn to saints are for examples of strength when we're facing what types of things?
There are so many different reasons, but I can tell you, first of all, that many of the moms that I deal with, when they have challenges raising their children, one of the very first things. And a few of my go-tos for that, St. Margaret of Scotland, she's a mother of a large family, mother of eight, managed to work in and outside of her home. She homeschooled. She dealt with the challenges that we all face while also leading a country.
Mm-hmm. St. Margaret was a great one, no question.
Yeah. For families that come together as combined families, which is more and more the case in our church these days, blended families, and St. Thomas More, the patron of step-parents and adopted children, he gave his life for his faith in service to the church after a long career serving his country, but he was also a step-parent and adoptive dad, too, so he's a great one. And then St. John Bosco, who wasn't the father himself, but he's actually the patron saint of school children. And he's one of my go-to saints when my children were having difficulties in school. He really believed in forming the whole person of our children. And so he's a great intercessor for me when I deal with challenges with my children.
Well, and one of your favorites, Bishop Sheen, told a great story about St. John Bosco. I invite you to look that up for yourself sometime.
I will, definitely. I don't know that, so okay. I definitely will.
All right.
And what about for health challenges?
Oh, boy, there are so many. But the one who immediately comes to mind for me is St. Damien of Molokai, a priest who gave his life to the service of those with Hansen's disease and called leprosy, and ultimately was suffered from contracting that disease himself. But he really was the touch of God to those he served, and I think that even in his own health crisis, that he really gave his all for those who were ill. Another one, really, that I turn to, nowadays common problems have to deal with addictions, perhaps to drug and alcohol, and many may not know that St. Maximilian Kolbe is actually the patron saint for those suffering addictions. And this is not because he was an addict himself, but actually because he gave his life during World War II and was killed by lethal injection at Auschwitz. And so he's a great, great patron for those suffering from addictions. And then for mental health issues, a little-known saint, Saint Dimphna, she actually lived in the 7th century, was martyred for her faith. And there's a whole tradition in the country of Belgium around Saint Dimphna and her intercession for those who suffer from mental health challenges.
How about a saint for a person who is concerned about a loved one who has left the faith? Is there one that you have in mind for that?
Oh, she's our go-to intercessor. I'm sorry I'm saying so many women, but a great Catholic mom, St. Monica.
Oh, yes.
Living in the 4th century and best known as the mother of St. Augustine in good times and in bad.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw him back to his reversion back to the faith. And there are actually prayer groups around the country called St. Monica's Sodality Prayer Groups that pray novenas together for the return of their loved ones to the faith. So she's a great intercessor. And she was, my husband is a convert to the faith, so she was a spiritual companion of mine for the first 17 years of my marriage while I prayed for him to come into the church.
Oh, cool. Okay. And then what about discerning one's life vocation? Any suggestions for that situation?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, the first person when I think of vocations that comes to mind is St. Joseph,
mm-hmm.
the patron saint of workers,
right.
Obviously, you know, the husband of Mary, the earthly father of Jesus. You know, he's not someone who we hear in his words quite often, but he's someone who showed with his actions a tremendous devotion to the Blessed Family. And to me, you know, you don't get a better role model for work than St. Joseph. But I also like to turn to another one that many people may not know, Mother Theodora Guerin.
Oh, yes.
And she actually was a missionary to the United States
right.
in the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Indiana, wasn't it?
Right, exactly. She's the patroness of a small city in Indiana. But she overcame a lot of struggles, kept her head down, did a great job, founded the first higher level institution of learning for Catholic women, and, you know, with very little resources, did a tremendous job. So she's a great role model for me there.
Okay, what about a saint to help us or to help others to face death with peace and faith, hope, and love?
Well, along with our own loved ones who have gone before us and whose souls we pray for daily, I pray through the intercession of St. Gianna Paratamala. And St. Gianna was a physician living in the 1900s who, met with a difficult pregnancy diagnosis, actually chose life for her fourth child and ultimately succumbed to a death right after the birth of that child.
Mm.
That child, also named Gianna, has gone on to become a major pro-life advocate. And St. Gianna met her death with great dignity and a beautiful attitude that provides a great role model for all of us.
Well, and how do you find all this information about saints? Are there any really good spots on the internet that we could go to research more about saints for particular situations?
There has to be something
there absolutely are.
That's not quite as ponderous as Butler's Lives of the Saints.
Although I do love Butler's.
Oh, it's the great resource, no question.
It's
not very user-friendly.
Well, yeah, you have to take some time with it. My favorite saint website is called saints.sqpn.com, and this is a complete compendium. You can search multiple different ways, but they actually, if you go over there every day and look at the saints for the day, you know, most of us think of the one or two feasts that we celebrate
mm-hmm.
each day. There are usually between 20 and 25 saints listed on the calendar each day, so you can find artwork and biography, intercessory list. So if you want to, you know, say a particular, who's the patron saint of flat tires or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you can go there and find it out at saints.sqpn.com. You know, now that we're so mobile, some great apps
yeah.
to check out. Definitely check out eVotions, which is from an organization called Little Eye Apps.
Yep.
And you know them for their confession app, which made the news. But these are great novena praying apps through various saints. And then also Franciscan Media has some really phenomenal saint apps, including a saint of the day, and also they've got some apps to help you with the naming of your children.
Oh,
so
cool.
That's another great one. And, you know, I always list it because people may not think of it, but one of my greatest saint resources is that little, I don't know if they have this where you guys live, but in California we have these calendars that come out at the beginning of every year in our parishes, and these are actually provided by the local cemeteries.
Yes,
or
funeral home, and I think every parish in the world has those,
yeah.
And they're wonderful. They are great.
It's a nice thing to keep in your kitchen and just pray together as a family each day through the intercession of whatever saint is on that calendar.
Perfect. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for speaking with us again.
Oh, it's an honor, and I will keep you and all of your listeners in prayer when I attend Mass today as well.
Thanks so much. And the name of Lisa Hendy's book, again, is A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms, 52 Companions for Your Heart, Mind, Body, and Soul.
We've linked to lisahendy.com and catholicmom.com from our show page. To get there, go to rediscover-faith.org, then click on radio on the top navigation bar. We've also linked to those online saints-related resources that Lisa noted from our show page.
Now, we are all called to be saints, no matter how daunting that call may seem, but Lino Ruli is up to the challenge. In fact, the St. Paul native and host of Sirius XM Radio's The Catholic Guy makes a tongue-in-cheek case for his immediate canonization in his latest book, appropriately called Saint.
However, as Joe Towalski found out in his interview with Lino a few weeks ago, interwoven with the humor is a deeper purpose, an encouragement for us all to focus on our spiritual growth. Here's an excerpt of Lino Ruli's interview with Joe Towalski of the Catholic Spirit.
You're a Minnesotan, and Minnesotans have a reputation for being polite and for being hardworking and nice, you know, Minnesota nice. So as I was reading this, I was wondering, do you think Minnesotans have a leg up on becoming saints compared to other Catholics in the country?
Minnesotans, by and large, if you could canonize all of Minnesota, while you think it might be the patron saint of nice, it'd really be the patron saint of passive-aggressive. You see, the difference between New Yorkers and Minnesotans, New Yorkers actually tell you what they're thinking. Like, I don't even know if New Yorkers have to go to confession, because they're just telling their priest everything anyways. It's just not under the seal of confession. The priest goes, oh yeah, I heard you told me exactly what you thought and what you did anyway. Minnesotans, we're people who try to, we sort of swallow it all in. We keep it all to ourselves, right? So if you think about it, one of the reasons why I claim to be able to be wanting to get canonized and become a saint is because, no, that you think I want to become a saint because I'm perfect. And I'm saying, no, I want to be a saint in spite of all my imperfections. And let me tell you all the mistakes I've made in my life. And I still think I'm going to be a saint anyway. It's that mix between being nice from Minnesota, but honest because now I live in New York.
When people ask you who your favorite saint is, you always say John Paul II. Now, technically, of course, he's not a saint yet, officially declared. So, in addition to him, who else would you say is a favorite saint?
So, present company excluded, who my favorite saints are. You know, the problem with me is I don't have a lot of favorite saints because I don't have a lot of saints I can relate to. Now, there are stories of saints that I find interesting or funny, and Philip Neri apparently was like a real funny guy. He did a lot of jokes, so like there's a guy like that I could relate to, but I really don't know much about him. I know where he's buried in Rome, but there aren't a lot of saints that I go, totally hung out with that guy, I remember him, he was cool. And I think when the church thrives, and for the church not just to survive, but truly to thrive, we have to keep lifting up the men and women who are relatable, who we know more about. You might relate more to a married guy than you might a hermit of the 4th century, right? Well, that's what we need. We need more people to be lifted up that were not perfect, but still lives a life of holiness and are up in heaven. So I hate to say I don't have a lot of favorite saints, but I really don't have a lot of favorite saints. Yeah, it's me and Jesus. And everybody else I like.
Other than you, where can average Joes like myself draw some of that inspiration beyond this book, do you think?
I actually do get inspired by the average person in church. When I see the mom and dad at church Sunday morning with these kids who, honest to God, you need a muzzle for these kids. Like they're maniacs and they're running around and you want to lose your mind. But it inspires me because they don't have it all together, but they know it'd be 10 times worse if they don't try to go to church. So I get inspired by the average person who just screws up all the time, and that's all of us. That's who I actually get inspired by. Those are the saints that inspire me, because the guy who says, you know what, I went out Saturday night, but I'm still waking up and going to church Sunday morning, or the single mom, or even the older people who, now we always think old people are just very holy and pious, but you know, they got their own problems and struggles and concerns. That still really inspires me. And I really do look around and I go, we're all called to be saints, but we're all saints in the making. And I get very excited about and inspired by just the average Catholic. I don't get excited about the people who have all this knowledge about theology and all that kind of stuff. That's boring to me. They know about God. I don't know if they know God. But I know the people that I see who have real struggles in life, and they have financial problems, and they have emotional problems, and they have any other problem in life, and yet they're just trying. They're failing perhaps, but they're still going, and they still try to pray every day, and they still try to go to church, and they're not perfect. That inspires me to say we're all on this path to heaven.
You can read Joe's article about Saint on thecatholicspirit.com. We've set up a link to our show page.
And you can read more about Lino and his new book on his website at linoruli.com. And we've linked his page on our show site as well.
Well, straight ahead on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholics about their favorite saints on this All Saints Day.
Plus, straight ahead in answering the call, how one local group is helping Catholic men get to know Jesus Christ through food, fellowship, and a full slate of solid Catholic teaching. It's all ahead on the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services has proudly served the Twin Cities area for five generations. No matter which of the 16 locations you choose, you will always find an exceptional level of professionalism and care to a tribute of life. Washburn McCreevy's traditional approach to these tributes will allow survivors to love, laugh, and live well again, even after their loss. Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with the time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. You live your life to the fullest, knowing your wishes will be honored. Washburn McCreevy even has a pre-planning checklist or online form so that you can start the process with the ultimate privacy. Have one sent to you free by calling 612-377-7841. The family of Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels, Cemeteries, and Cremation Services continues to present the Daily Mass evenings on Relevant Radio. 612-377-7841.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Answering the Call, we're talking with one of the organizers of Catholic Man Night, a group dedicated to helping men build a personal friendship with Jesus Christ and imitating him in their daily lives.
Yes, Catholic Man Night was started in 2010 by local men who wanted to reach out to Catholic men who were not strongly engaged in the faith. And since then, they've expanded their program offerings both geographically and in number. And they've built up their website to be a clearinghouse of information on materials on Catholic men meeting, knowing, and loving Jesus Christ.
Matthew Christoph joins us in today's Answering the Call with more about Catholic Man Night and how local Catholic men can get involved both in person and online. Hello, Matthew.
Well, good morning.
Tell us a little bit about Catholic Man Night. What is it?
Well, you know, it's a response to a big challenge that we have in the church, and that's what I think we might call a man crisis.
Mm-hmm.
If we look what's happened to men's activity and involvement in the church over the last 30 years, we've had large numbers of men leave the church, and those that remain are frankly less passionate about the faith
just
than they used to
passive,
be.
Just kind of passive, just there.
It's very passive. You know, of course, we have, there are different kinds of Catholic men, and there's a good number of men that are very active in their faith, but large numbers have lost a living sense of what the faith means and have lost that personal connection to Jesus Christ. That's really what we're trying to do with Catholic Man Night, is to draw men back into a relationship with Jesus.
And so you're expanding Catholic Man Night's offerings to more parishes and more meetings every month. And what else?
Well, at the core of Catholic Man Night, and maybe it might be good to just describe it briefly.
Yeah, what do you do at a Man Night?
Well, it's all about meeting Jesus. We start with an hour of adoration, and each Catholic Man Night has a specific topic on getting to know Jesus better. It might be something about his divinity, it might be one of his virtues, it might be some major aspect in his life. But we start with an hour of adoration with a reflection led by a priest or a deacon. We've been blessed to have Archbishop Nienstedt, Bishop Pouchet, who guides our overall effort, Bishop-elect Cousins, and many others have been involved in this. So after the reflection, there's an opportunity for confession. That's so critical in drawing men back to Christ, is to have that reconciliation. After that, we break. We eat a manly meal.
Steak and what else?
Well, steak's kind of expensive.
That's
though,
true. That's a little high.
Burgers
high
and
dollar.
Bushes.
That works too.
Well, it's there's always a lot of food.
Not a frou-frou salad though, I'm guessing.
No, that's our Women Adoring Jesus product. I can
hey,
talk
I'm
about
coming
that
to the Man Night then.
And then we have a time for reflection and discussion. When we were first starting this, some people said, you know, geez, men don't want to really talk about their faith. We find the exact opposite is true. People really want to engage in Jesus Christ and discussing our Lord.
Well, you said that one of the things you're trying to counteract is the way men, in a general sense, not all men, of course, but in a general sense, tend to become more casual about their faith. What does that eventually lead to if we don't do something about it?
Well, it's a huge crisis in the church, and one that I think, as I'm beginning to talk with more and more leaders, that we need to pay more attention to and start to really address. But at the core of it, it's a lack of connection to Jesus Christ and to the sacraments. And what happens is men start to drift away. And when men drift away, our parishes become weaker. There's plenty of statistical data on that. And in addition, they don't pass the faith on to their children.
Kids, right.
One of the most troubling statistics I've seen recently is looking at trends over time and how likely young people are to leave the church. You know, 20 years ago, the numbers were troubling. They were like 60% would consider leaving the church. Now there's 80% of young people would consider leaving the church.
That is tragic.
This directly is related to the faith of the fathers. You know, and as we think about the new evangelization, this is something that I've been thinking about a little bit is, you know, at the heart of it, there won't be a new evangelization if we don't evangelize men.
Right, right. Men and not only other men, but ourselves as well.
Oh, absolutely. At the core of being a disciple, an intentional disciple, is the ability to give witness to Jesus Christ. And if we don't have that personal relationship with Him, both intellectually and with our hearts and our souls, we can't evangelize.
And do you have any stories on that of people changing that have come to your Catholic
case movement? Histories.
Yeah.
Well, there are many. I will give you a poignant story.
Okay.
I'll
right.
give it briefly. We had a man named Rob who came to Catholic Man Night a year ago, a little over a year, and he had a conversion experience. He wasn't a Christian. He came into the church this last Easter, and 2 weeks before he came into the church, he was told he had terminal cancer. Rob, up until that time, was very active and actually was the catalyst for us starting a new venture, which is Noche de Hombres Catolicos, which is a Spanish language Catholic man night.
Awesome.
Rob has passed on, and we're both saddened by that, and we're joyful in a way that we have a strong advocate in heaven, we believe.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I notice one of the topics that you have coming up is the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. Tell me a little bit about that topic.
Well, you know, that's a very specifically chosen topic. You know, the word awesome is just prevalent everywhere you look.
And yes, it is.
And in fact, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
Because if it can mean
it's
anything.
It's overused, I think. I do it for sure.
Well, if you look, you Google it, it's 1.2 billion hits for awesome. if you Google Jesus, you get about 600 million, about
yeah.
half.
Okay.
And so this idea of, you know, I think it's a little evangelical jujitsu. You know, we want to use that idea that awesome that is so prevalent in our language and remind people to say, only Jesus is awesome.
That's awesome.
Awe comes from a Greek word that means to be divinely reverential.
Mm-hmm.
We should not be awed by anything except our Lord.
But Him, right.
And if you look at His life, everybody that meets Him is awed. And it's both a mix of joy and rejoicing, but it's also fear and trembling. As, you know, we should have a healthy dose of fear when we think about the Creator of the universe.
His power, yes, yeah. And so you've talked about a typical Catholic man night gathering, and how can someone get involved in this?
Well, we have a number of them scheduled. You can go to CatholicManNight.com and see the ongoing list. So we have a number of them scheduled. This is a tool for priests who want to draw men closer to Jesus and into adoration. And so anybody that wants to do one of these in their parish, they can contact us. We have all the tools. It doesn't cost anything. It just takes a little elbow grease to get the word out, and men will show up to adore our Lord.
And you have them in various locales, don't you?
And you're spreading.
We're spreading. We're you know, our mission is not to be everywhere. Our mission is to serve those priests and men who are enthusiastic about drawing men to Jesus in adoration. And so we are spreading. It's not a marching marketing plan by
right.
any sense.
It's just happening.
But we have a group of very dedicated priests and a lot of laymen who are leading this. And I just happen to be in studio here, but there are people that are doing all the work.
And what about the materials on the website? Like, what type of things can people go there and find?
Well, I'd like to talk about both the Catholic Man Night website and our new website, which is called Awed by Jesus Christ. And you can find some of the same information. But in essence, what it is, it's a listing of topics that you can get to know Jesus better. They're rooted, I guess I should say, in the catechism and in the scripture, and they just give you a starter to say, okay, I want to know more about Jesus as divine king, or the humility of Jesus, or the obedience of Jesus. What is drawing you in your heart that you need to do in your life? Christ demonstrates to us and draws us to him in that way. So we have all these topics that people can be drawn to.
Perfect. When's the next Catholic Man Night coming up?
The next Catholic Man Night is actually in Spanish, and it's Noche de Hombres Catolicos, and it's November 15th.
Okay.
It's at St. James over in St. Paul. We have St. Agnes the 20th, I think.
And that one's in English?
And that one's in English.
Okay.
And then we have Bishop Hachet will be with us at St. Michael, up in St. Michael.
And what's your website again so people can go to?
Well, there's two websites. There's CatholicManNight.com.
Okay.
And AwedByJesusChrist.com.
Got
it. Matthew Christoph, thanks so much for coming in and telling us a little bit more about Catholic Man Night.
Thank you for having me.
And here are the details again on the upcoming Catholic Man Night events this month. Wednesday, November 20th, Catholic Man Night at St. Agnes in St. Paul. Topic is The Courage of Jesus Christ, presented by Father Mark Moriarty. The event, the evening begins at 6:30, ends by 9 p.m. The Church of St. Agnes is at 548 LaFond Avenue in St. Paul.
And then on Friday, November 22nd, there is a Catholic Man Night at St. Michael Catholic Church in St. Michael. The topic is Son of Man, presented by Bishop Lee Pichet. And the evening begins at 6:30 and ends by 9 p.m. The Church of St. Michael address is 11300 Frankfurt Parkway Northeast in St. Michael.
Both events are free and include dinner. Free will offerings to offset costs are gratefully accepted. Make sure to check out the amazing resources that Catholic Man Night organizers have pulled together online. We've put a link to Catholic Man Night, all one word, CatholicManNight.com on our show page.
And a reminder, if there is a new evangelization related topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, please let us know. Click on show ideas on the lower right side of our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org. And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, hear from local Catholics about their favorite saints.
And we'll highlight Catholic events happening around town when we come right back.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. They strive for the best results for their customers.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. This summer, I took a 10-day vacation up at the lake. The first three emails that I opened on Monday morning were all compliments about how well my employees had handled various things while I was gone. What a blessing to come back to that.
Stinson Electric has such a wide set of skills, your electrical needs are always handled by an expert in the field.
Our ideal in our company is to have each person be continuously improving. So we host annual in-house training for our electricians. They're trained in safety, they're trained in new codes, troubleshooting techniques. That way, with a number of employees, we have kind of a wide range of knowledge. People become experts on different parts of the business.
Stinson Electric is the sponsor of the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. You can contact Paul at 612-424-7382.
Today I can see. Oh, today I can see. My. For the very first time, I wave goodbye, bye to what used to weigh me down. Oh,
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And here's a little tidbit of I found in the news.
You've been reading.
Well, I just was, you know, searching around, playing around in my spare time that's very limited. But Archbishop Charles Chaput of Philadelphia, he delivered an address at a Pennsylvania seminary as part of a Year of Faith discussion series earlier this month. And he focused first on faith, saying that in Porta Fide, Benedict listed three reasons for calling a year of faith. He hoped Christians would be led to profess the faith more fully and with conviction, to deepen their encounter with Jesus Christ in the liturgy, especially in the Eucharist, and to witness the faith more credibly by the example of their lives. And, you know, he stressed, and I like this, that a Christian may never think of belief as a private act, but faith involves choosing to stand with the Lord so as to live with him. Therefore, faith, precisely because it's a free act, also demands social responsibility for what one believes.
Archbishop Chaput is probably one of the most brilliant ones that we have in this country.
Well, and I love that he talks about recovering the courage and zeal to really walk the walk and to lead and to be a witness to your faith.
Man after my own heart.
Well, and that's a reminder, too, that talking about the Year of Faith, it does end this month on the Feast of Christ the King on November 24th.
Well, and local evangelization and catechesis efforts don't end with the Year of Faith. They are ongoing. The final talk in the Rediscover Faith 2013 Speakers Series takes place next week, starting Monday, November 4th. Rediscover the Way, Keeping God at the Center of My Life, is the culmination of the Speakers Series, with a discussion about what it means to live out a Christian life in the church and keep God at the center of our lives. It's an exploration of how prayer, service to others, and acceptance of God's great gift of the sacraments lead to true and lasting happiness in this life and the next. The talk will be presented by our guest on the Rediscover Hour last week, Deacon Joe Mahalik.
Yeah, the talk will be held Monday, November 4th at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, Tuesday, November 5th at Epiphany in Coon Rapids, and Wednesday, November 6th in the James B. Wolfe Alumni Hall in the Anderson Student Center on the University of St. Paul campus. Our University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus, and then Thursday, November 7th at Pax Christi in Eden Prairie. And the same talk is presented each of those four nights, and all of the talks begin at 7 p.m. and run a total of about 90 minutes, including hospitality time. All of the talks are free and no registration is required, so make plans to attend and bring a friend or a family member with you. For more details, you can visit rediscover-faith.org and click on events.
And here is the information about the 2014 Speakers Series, Why Pray and How to Pray, which begins in early February and ends in early March of 2014. The series early next year consists of two inspiring talks that highlight the beauty of prayer and offer insight on how to pray, gathered from 2,000 years of church experience. You're invited to discover how your life can change and grow in new and powerful ways by building a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Two talks are held in back-to-back weeks on the following dates at these parishes, February 3rd and 10th at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, February 4th and 11th at St. John Newman in Eagan, February 24th and March 3rd at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, February 25th and March 4th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. All talks are free and begin at 7 p.m. Each runs 90 minutes, including hospitality time.
And Rediscover Prayer Evenings are a new addition for 2014. These evenings are a unique opportunity to experience Cor Jesu, meaning Heart of Jesus, through worshiping Christ in community with the church through Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, benediction, and fellowship. And Rediscover Prayer is held March 11th at the Cathedral of St. Paul and March 25th at St. Hubert in Chanhassen and April 8th at All Saints in Lakeville.
And mark your calendars now for the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration, October 3rd and 4th, 2014, at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Attendees will have more space and more time. We'll be sure to share details on speakers and other important information about the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration as soon as we get that information.
And Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local Catholics.
This week, we spoke with customers at St. Patrick's Guild in St. Paul. We asked a question appropriate for All Saints Day. Who is your favorite saint? This is how they responded.
Jan, St. Richard's Church, Richfield. Jane Deschantel. I chose her when I was being confirmed in 8th grade, many years ago. I come from a large family. I had a large family of 6 children and didn't know that at the time, of course, but I admired my grandmother and my mother tremendously. And St. Jane was a woman who got married. She had many children. Her husband was murdered, died young, and she lost some of her children. And she had this sense of, she still kept going. She had this great sense of spirituality as a laywoman. And I think that's one of the things that drew me to her as a laywoman. And she went on and heard Francis de Sales speak. And he then became a spiritual mentor to her. And he helped her realize that spirituality isn't just for monks and priests and brothers or nuns. It's also for lay people.
I'm Matt from Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul. I would have to say St. Andrew, actually. I took him as my confirmation name, and something that stuck with me then, kind of stayed with me, is just how he immediately left everything and followed Jesus and lived a life with God. And as a young man, 23, still trying to figure out my life, that kind of really applies to me, just trusting that God's plan is the right path to be on, and keeping that faith that whatever God has planned for me is better than anything I've come up with on my own.
Hi, I'm Barb, and I'm from St. Peter's in Richfield. St. Joseph, to me, is the epitome of trust in God. He had a lot of difficult things to deal with. And 3 years ago, I lost 2 major jobs, and within 2 weeks of each other. And it was a very difficult time in my life. But St. Joseph the Worker became my patron right there. And I always seem now to have work when I need it. Granted, I do have 4 part-time jobs right now. But that's okay. You know, they're all things I love to do. And it pays the bills. And he has been a real mainstay in my life.
Hi, my name is Carol, and I'm a member of Normandale Lutheran Church in Edina, Minnesota. Yeah, well, I was just in Honolulu, and so, of course, I heard about Father Damien. And his life of service to the poor and his identifying with the suffering of humanity and the suffering of Christ and the redemption of Christ, just his story of going to the island of Molokai and doing anything he could to help the lepers. For him to go there and to want to dedicate his life to their situation and then identifying to the point of really incarnating their suffering in his own body with his own death in leprosy was a tremendous inspiration to me.
Well, if you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour, we want to hear it.
That's right. There are lots of ways to reach us. You can email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org or click on radio in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page or contact us through the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com. And here's a look at some inspiring Catholic events happening in our area. If you are listening on Friday, you can still make this event. It's a must. You've got to go. Join Father Rocky for the Morning of Reflection at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Saturday, November 2nd. The day begins at 8 a.m. with Mass, followed by Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And then there are 2 talks by Father Rocky, Putting the Last Things First and Heaven, the Final Frontier. The day ends at noon with benediction. The Morning of Reflection with Father Rocky this Saturday, November 2nd, is free and open to the faithful. It's part of the Cathedral's ongoing First Saturday series. Free will offerings will be greatly accepted.
A special penitential prayer service will be held at the Cathedral of St. Paul on November 3rd at 6:30 p.m. All are welcome and encouraged to attend this important moment of prayer for our local church when Archbishop Neinstedt will lead all in attendance in prayers for peace, healing, and forgiveness. The service, which will not be a Mass, will last about 1 hour.
And then on November 8th at 7 a.m., St. Paul's Outreach presents its November Men on a Mission. Monsignor Jim Shea, president of the University of Mary, will be speaking on men for the new evangelization at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Bloomington. The SPO's Men on a Mission. Come for some faith, food, and fellowship. To RSVP for the Men on a Mission event on November 8th at 7 a.m., visit spoweb.org or call 651-451-6114. That's 651-451-6114.
You may remember a few weeks back we had author Alyssa Bormas on the show to talk about her new book, The Catechism of Hockey. Well, on Saturday, November 9th, she'll be signing copies of The Catechism of Hockey at Divine Inspirations Books and Gifts in Hastings. Come back, come around and say hi to Linda.
Yeah, and also
Alyssa.
Alyssa Bormas, that's right.
Yes.
And also on November 9th, All in God's Plan, Daughters and Sons for Life program. This program is for teens aged 13 to 16 and their parents. All in God's Plan is intended to present to teens a Christian understanding of human sexuality by taking a hard look at what underlies the modern cultural approach.
Well, we don't have a show on November 8th, so listen for an encore show broadcast Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9 a.m., then coming up November 15th on the Rediscover Hour, Raising a Happy, Healthy, Faithful Family. We'll take a closer look at resources available to help parents help their children succeed in this life and the next.
And we'll talk with bilingual evangelist and international speaker Martha Fernandez-Sardina about how we can all reflect on the year of faith.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m. on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.